Do not hesitate to continue to have your worship, your time with God as you take communion. This is going to be a fun little one this morning. I'm going to get some nods. I'm going to get some looks. I'm going to get some head shakes. I know it's coming, all right? So just deal with that. First things first, though, let's get our children, our loft children. If you're headed to the loft, head that way now, okay? If you're working the loft or headed to the loft, Spencer, let's let him get up to the front so we don't have a stampede. John Cena's big enough to stop the masses, all right? Here we go. Here we go. All right, all the kids, thank you, Zane, for jumping in and helping out today. He wasn't scheduled, but he jumped in to help out. Going to lead a small group. Love that. Thankful for that. Anybody? Bueller, anybody? Got a few? Yeah. All right, still working? Don't know. Okay. Man, what worship today. I'm very thankful for Jamie and Brittany and George and Cindy. Very thankful. I want to get right on into the message. I got lots of announcements and Christmassy things and church-changing things, but I want to get into this. We're going to pick up with Solomon and his wisdom, and he's going to say things that we do not want to hear as men and as women. If you have a problem with what I say this morning, take it up with the scripture. And here we go. All this I tested by wisdom. And I said, I am determined to be wise. But this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? So I turned my mind to understand and to investigate and to search out wisdom in the scheme of things. To understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. I can't figure out this wisdom thing under the sun, so I'll see if I can figure out some of the things we think will make us happy, will make us joyful, will make us wise. I'm going to set my mind on some of those things. And then he says, I find more bitter than death the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, whose hands are in chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner, she will ensnare. Look, this is what I have discovered. Adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. Taking what I learned and adding it to what I learned and adding it to what I've experienced and all my riches and all my women and all my power and all my authority. I still search, but I do not find. Now everybody take a deep breath. I found one upright man among a thousand, but not one upright woman among them all. This only I have found. God can make mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. Solomon begins to address something, and he doesn't say it outright, but he has searched the world over in the context of who he is and where he lives to find connection. This is what you have to understand. To find satisfaction. To find the Hebrew people called it goad. And I think I have decided that I'm going to preach on this. So while all you visitors are here, you go ahead and write this down on your calendar. The Edge Conference is January 13th, 14th, and 15th. That means the 14th is a Sunday. January 21st, 28th, and the first Sunday in February. We're going to preach. Sorry, guys, I didn't ask, but I'm saying it now. We're going to preach a three-part series called Sex. 3 weeks on sex. Not what you think sex is. What the Bible says sex is. Because you don't, I didn't understand this. The word dode in Hebrew means to mingle the soul. Our culture is clueless to what it means to find the kind of partnership, the kind of gravity pulling, soul kinsmanship that when God created what He created that we all long for, that He could not just make our bodies connect, but everything about the permanent people we were created to be for all eternity, He could make that connect. And Solomon confesses right here in front of us. Here's what he says. Solomon says, to be honest with you, it took me 1,000 guys to find a guy I could even talk to about regular stuff. And I want you to think about us men. We got a ton of acquaintances. We got a ton of people we know. But we don't get intimate, and I'm not talking about sex, I'm talking about conversationally. We don't get intimate with other guys. When we hug, we do the 3-tap thing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not gay, you know? You lean in, I'm not gay, you know? We like to chest bump. We don't want that. And then you start talking. I spit, didn't I? That's all right. He's Methodist. He's good. Listen to me. If you think about all the men you know, conversational intimacy among men is rare. All right? But here's what happened to Solomon. He said, after all the years when I got through 1,000, I found one guy I could trust, one guy I could talk to. And I can't find that with a woman. Now, why not? Because women aren't worth finding? Beth's like, no. I'm getting ready to tell you why. I'm getting ready to tell you why you can't. 700 wives. Boy got issues. Couldn't find what he was looking for. Played Bono over and over again. And decides that he'd give 300 concubines a whirl. 1,000 women, every shape, every size, every color, every experience, every age, and the brother can't find it. This dude has himself some issues. Do you know what it's called today? I want you to hear me. Porn. Wait. Solomon didn't have a computer? No, he didn't. He had the real thing. Think about this for a minute. What kind of sexual desire, what kind of objectifying draw do you have to run through 1,000 women? Let me tell you why Solomon could not find a woman that he couldn't get close to. Because Solomon didn't see women. He saw breasts. Solomon didn't see women. He saw thighs. What? Objects. Objects to be handled. Objects to be fondled. Objects to be used. Objects to satisfy me. Can anybody tell me what porn is? The videotaping of objects who no longer have moms in our eyes, who no longer have fathers in our eyes, who are not daughters to someone, who have no souls, but are objects for our pleasure alone, not created by God. Solomon couldn't find it because he saw women as no more than objects. We can't find it because we are the culture one generation removed from the flagrant disregard of pornography that brings in more money by itself than Major League Baseball, NFL, and hockey combined. It makes an object out of you and your children. And it makes an idiot out of you. And that, people's like, pornography's not dangerous. It's not dangerous. It's me in my closet, on my laptop. It's not dangerous, except that every woman you see. Do I need to finish that sentence? One month from now, we're going to look at what God created, what God made that thing to be. We're going to undress biblical sex and teach you how not to dance with the body, but mingle with a soul. We're going to hand women back who they are, not how they're made. Solomon says, as I have chased everything, the thing that evades me is the woman. I do not get it. I cannot understand it. I find no satisfaction in it. Why are we not satisfied in our marriages? Why are we not satisfied in our relationships? Why are we not satisfied in a world full of sexuality? Because we are doing it wrong. Here's the problem with the next 15 minutes of what I'm going to say. I'm going to contend something right now to you. You don't want to hear how to do it right. You'll nod your heads. And you will say amen because I'll be reading from the Bible. But you don't want to hear the world today, women today, husbands today, you don't want to hear how to do it right. Well, Craig, we wouldn't be sitting here if we wanted to do it right. I call baloney on all of it. Here's why. If you really want something, you do it. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I run into people at Kroger. Yeah, man, I wanted to be at church last Sunday, but I was tired. Then you didn't want to be here. It's simple. You wanted to be here, you'd be here. If you want to hear what the Bible says will save your marriage, will hand you back your soul, will hand marriage back to saving in this country instead of more divorces than marriages, of which I've been through, you want to know? Then don't nod about wanting it. Listen to what I have to tell you. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Every time. Y'all listening? Every time Jesus, Paul, the writers of the scripture address how men and women should respond to one another, they address the same sex first. Every time. Anybody else find that interesting? I find it interesting that every time they address men and women, they always address one of the sexes first. You know which one? Nope. Females. The wife is always addressed first. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? Because Because no matter what a husband chooses to do, no matter what instruction he is given, if he does it right or wrong, and you don't follow, it doesn't matter. If there's not a willing partner, there's no reason for the law. It's like your kids, man. Well, I tell them what to do all day, and they just don't want to do it. How's that feel? You don't want to hear what's coming. But the woman is always addressed first. Because no matter what the husband does, if the woman's not ready to listen, it does not matter. This is why some of you are like, I am checking out. Check out. Go ahead. And continue to live in a world jaded by falsities. Here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. Listen, comma, of which he is Savior. Husbands, let me be clear. It will not favor you to point this out. I saw some of you nod, tap, point. Listen to me. Miracles happen. Caesar parted, bones come together, donkeys talk. But telling a woman to submit never works. And I want you to be very careful. She is submitting to you, comma, as Christ gave for the church. Listen carefully, guys. Of which he is Savior. What did Jesus have to do to save the church? Until you're ready to give it all up for her, do not ask for submission from her. There's an argument there. I'll get it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Sacrificial love to make holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word to present her to himself as a radiant church. You are to sacrifice everything that you have, everything that you are, everything that you want to be, to create in her the kind of life, the kind of love, the kind of mother, the kind of soul that you can go, God, I don't stand before you pure. Here is my bride, radiant for all my sacrifice. See how I have obeyed you to make her yours. This is the calling of the husband. But you know what every one of you wants it to say? Here's what all of y'all are thinking. I don't know how to argue with him, but he doesn't, but she doesn't. Here's how you think this reads. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as long as he loves you like Christ loves the church. And at times, when he does not love you or makes a mistake, leave him, chastise him, nag him until he does. Also, husbands, if your wife is arrogantly unsubmissive, then I give you freedom to not love her as Christ loves the church. Can I get an amen? Come on. Does it say that? Let's be clear about how that conversation with Christ would go. Hey, God, I got something to say. Why, yes, my child, bring it. You told me to love that woman. As a matter of fact, I did. You told me to love her and to give up everything for her. That is correct, my child. But that woman will not submit to me. Oh, really? So if she doesn't submit, yes, then I ain't gonna love. Okay. What do you think about that? I think maybe I'm going to do the same thing for you. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to love you and forgive you and die for you when you submit completely to me. And only when you submit completely to me. Because that's the kind of love I do. When you earn it, I give it. When you don't, I don't. You want to be like that? You want God's love to be based on how good you are? How well you act? How much you submit? How much you do for him, for her? Do you want it to be if then? Or do you want it to be God said, okay? I don't know what you want. Your actions will answer. Your actions will answer. God calls us to love our wives faithfully and unconditionally as Christ loved the church, without reservation, without reparation, without cause, without effect, without condition, as he unconditionally loved the church. And God asks you, dear women, to follow that man, regardless of how he responds to God's word. The question is not, what am I getting from him? What am I getting from her? The question is, what did God ask of me? What did God ask of me? Am I doing it? Am I doing it? Not, is she doing it? Is he doing it? We want to walk through life like the guy in the temple. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not like him. We want to walk through life going, as long as I don't smoke, drink, chew, or run around with girls who do, I'm okay. So look at me not compared to the sin that was as white as snow, to the red that was made pure. No, not next to Jesus. Look at me next to Charles Manson. I feel better about myself. You do it with your wife. You do it in your town. You do it in your Walmart. You turn your nose in the air as you walk down the aisle. I'm a better parent. I'm a better Christian. I don't order those beverages. I'm a good Baptist. And you do it in your kitchen. Why didn't you get the dishes done? Why didn't you cook the dinner? Why didn't you sweep the floor? Why didn't you work 8 hours today? You know what the next generation is going to do? Why didn't you do the dishes today? Why didn't you sweep? What about a generation that says, all I remember about my daddy is that my mommy was the most important thing in his world? All I remember about my mommy and daddy is they were snuggling all the time and it was nasty. But she would run home to kiss him, and he would come in the door and greet her first. And I would if the dog weren't faster than me. Colossians chapter 1. Craig, how do we do it? Preacher, we're broken. You're broken. I'm broken. You couldn't hold a marriage together. We can't hold marriages together. How do we do it? You can't. You can't. And I'm not here to tell you you can. And if you want a preacher who will tell you that if you'll buy into him, you'll make more money. If you will tithe, your bills will automatically be paid. If you work 90 hours a week, you won't have any problems. If you pray hard enough, your children won't get sick. If you show up enough, you won't lose that child. If you want that kind of preacher, go somewhere else. You won't find that here. I don't find that here. God never promises any of that. He says, whatever you go through, wherever you are, wherever you go, I'll be there. And I want to read what comes with that promise in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The supremacy of Christ. Here is the confidence that I preach in. Here is the hope that I have. Here is the marriage-saving revelation. He is the image of the invisible God. God didn't remain unseen. He sent Jesus Christ and said, this is what I look like. By him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him. Listen. And for him. I've been talking to you about a perspective change. If your marriage is for you, she is an object. If it is for him, it is a symbolic hope for all. There's the difference. Why do you come to church? For him. Why do you have children? For him. Why do you submit to your wife? For him. It is not about her. It's about him. Why do you love her this way? For him. Because if I don't, I abuse everything that he did for me. My marriage has got to be a symbol of the unity of God, and the two shall become one flesh. Ahad. The same as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. Ahad. We're living out a symbol of the glory and the power of God. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about NBC. It's all about the created God who came under a star to bring heaven to earth, beyond the sun to under the sun, so that we might know. Listen. He is before all things. If you get the order right, the rest falls in. Not you first, not the kids first, not the wife first, him first. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in him. And through him, ready? To reconcile. Through him to reconcile. Through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth and in heaven by making peace through the shedding of his blood. What Solomon did not have, that you and I do have, if we believe that it happened, is something that takes the disconnect, takes the sin, takes the pain, takes the chasm separated between us and the God that made us and draws us back into him. When Jesus came, lived, and died, brought all of us back into himself. There is a place with no more sin, no more tears, no more pain, no more lust, a place that is back to chapter 1 of the Bible, where man and woman walked naked with God, and there was no shame, there was no hopelessness, there was no darkness, there was no pain. There is a place where that occurs because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And when we stand before God, he does not see us, he sees him, the Son of God, who came to earth and died so that marriages could survive, so that children could grow old together, so that life could give way to death. No more sin, no more death, defeated at the cross, so that you and I could have life and have it to the full. You don't have to live where the porn tells you. You don't have to live where the TV tells you. You don't have to live where this guy or that guy tells you. You can live with Christ. How do I submit? Stay in Christ. What if she? Doesn't matter. You're not doing it for her. You're not doing it for you. You're doing it all glory and honor and power and praise be to our God who lives forever. It's a change in perspective. Right, men? You're going to hear it over and over again as I finish this book. This book will reveal very little new to you, but it will point something out that you must do, and that is stop looking under the sun and fix your eyes beyond the sun. Solomon couldn't figure it out because there weren't enough objects to satisfy. You need money, power, privilege, church, rules, regulations, finances, a job, or a relationship to satisfy you, you will find yourself always one thing. But if you fill yourself with Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you will find yourself fulfilling what Jesus prayed for. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The one thing we are sure about heaven is this. One word. It satisfies. There's nothing else that you need. It satisfies all of your longings. And Jesus is saying, there is a way, and I will pray you find it here through Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Pray. God, we don't fix this in a day. We don't find this perfection in marriage in a moment. But you promise us that where you are, we may be. And your Holy Spirit is here speaking to us and through us. And your Son is preparing a place for us so that we don't have to just be with you here, but we can be with you beyond the sun for all eternity. My prayer is that every child, every adult, every person in this room finds Jesus Christ, Him born, and Him crucified, and that life comes to them, hope comes to them. And I pray that Harry, and I pray that Owen, and I pray that Tayson, and I pray that Olivia, and I pray that Haven grows up in a place where they go, mommy loved daddy. Daddy loved mommy. Mommy and daddy loved us. I know what Jesus looked like because mommy and daddy showed me how to live, how to love, how to submit, how to sacrifice. And they changed the world one child at a time for the glory of Jesus. It's in His name that we pray, and amen.